Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And what is a hobby and what is an illegal stockpile of weapons?
If a military force of whatever sorts came to my house to try to take this from a different country or what have you, I need to have the right to protect myself too. If I don't have this, I can't protect myself. And it does also protect the rest of the rights.
That's the voice of someone who describes himself as a defender of the Constitution, claiming on the internet he has a right to train shooters and maintain an arsenal of weapons as part of his Second Amendment rights. Coming up, we will try to determine if such militia activists invite radicals like the shooters in San Bernardino to amass the firepower to do what they did last week, killing 14 innocent people. But first, let's remind ourselves what Donald Trump said yesterday as he continued to make a political opportunity out of the recent San Bernardino shootings.
We have to stop the Muslims until we find out what's going on. Does that make sense, by the way? Until we find out.
Stop the Muslims. Trump shrieking like a crusader priest from the Middle Ages at a rally in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Our country cannot be the victim of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad.
But this is not the Middle Ages. This is the 2016 presidential campaign, and Donald Trump has staked out a position once again that will distinguish him from the rest of the GOP field, strains credulity, and makes another bet that he will gain supporters from this gambit. And of course, there's always the chance that Donald Trump actually thinks this is a good idea. Nawa Arsala is a third-year law student at American University in Washington, D.C. What's your impression from this rhetoric, just hearing it straight off the top of your head?
I can tell you that last night I was on my way to watch the terrible upset between the Redskins and the Cowboys, and my brother is on his phone, and he reads this to me, and I start lecturing him, and I say, you know, you can't believe everything you read on Facebook. You have to check the source. And he's like, no, Nawa, this is from CNN. Read this article. It was so outrageous that I absolutely just did not believe it at first. It's almost like Mr. Trump doesn't want to be president.
Well, except there were people cheering there in South Carolina. How does that make you feel?
I think that's what shocked me the most. When I see that he's one of the front runners of the election, that's what shocks me the most, that my fellow Americans can identify with his sentiments and sympathize with it.
He acts as though, and again, I'm trying to keep an open mind about this, but he acts as though this is no big deal, that we just are going to have a moratorium on Muslims coming into the United States. But practically speaking, think about your family and your friends. What impact would this have on your lives, even if it was for just a couple of months?
This would have a terrible impact. For one, you know, I have so many family and friends that go to do the pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj. And for two, I work with several nonprofit organizations in Afghanistan where they bring some Afghan girls to America to do programs where they would study here and engage in some sort of education that they wouldn't be able to have in Afghanistan. And I have another program that I'm working with that brings artisans from Afghanistan to America. And these are invaluable educational programs that they won't be able to have in Afghanistan.
And of course, this is not an impact that's real at this point. This is just rhetoric. So you're just sort of imagining things that you would suddenly have to think about that you never had to think about before. You have family out of the country?
I do.
And they would suddenly have to think about this. Where are they from? In Afghanistan?
Yes, I have family in Afghanistan. And if they come to visit, you know, oftentimes they would come maybe once or twice a year just to see family here because we have so much family. But they've never had to worry about that before. And even my family that lives here, when they go back to Afghanistan, they've never had to worry about, will I be able to come back to America?
All right. On the other side, you know, it's not rhetoric, but clearly Trump is reacting to what happened in San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
I have Muslim friends who, when something like this happens, there's a kind of an internal uh-oh that goes off in their hearts. And, you know, it's not let's ban Muslims from coming into the country, but does your uh-oh meter go off when San Bernardino happens? And is this the kind of thing that you fear when something like that happens out in California?
Absolutely. I remember when as things were unfolding, I that's the first thought that comes to mind. I'm like, God, please don't let it be a Muslim, you know? And then lo and behold, still in my eyes, these people are not Muslim. But that is the kind of thing that we fear. And I think that, you know, President Obama said it perfectly the other night, that excluding Muslims and creating these databases or to push as far as Mr. Trump says, do not let Muslims into the country, is exactly what these terrorists want.
Finally, Trump says these people who believe only in jihad. There are people who suggest that the two shooters in San Bernardino were espousing is some perverted form of Islam. You would say it differently, yes?
Absolutely. I'm far from an Islamic scholar, but I majored in Islam. And for 4 years, I tried to understand what that term jihad even means. And yes, there is, you know, some sort of physical interpretation of that. But in reality, it's a more of a mental everyday, a struggle of jihad. It's a struggle with my ego, a struggle to become a better person. This sort of interpretation is nothing that I learned in the 4 years that I studied under American scholars, Arab scholars, Afghan, Iranian, so many different scholars, that none of them had this idea. So I don't know where this radicalization came from, but it is something that absolutely needs to be addressed and can't be politicized by people like Mr. Trump.
And even Tashmin's encounter with the Al-Huda movement, which you know about, right?
Yes.
Which is a women's movement, which is very, very conservative and very, very orthodox. And you would wear the full hijab. I wouldn't even see your face if we were talking face to face. They say this has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, this is, I mean, even Al-Qaeda says ISIS is too extreme for us. And in Afghanistan, the Taliban says, no way, ISIS is too extreme. This is not Islam. So even the most extremists of Muslims that we thought we saw don't even see them as Muslim.
Now, Arsala is a third-year law student at American University in Washington, D.C., thinking about what Donald Trump told an audience in South Carolina this week. Thanks so much, Nawa.
Thank you, John.